Hey everyone, it's Ryan Durge. Welcome to another episode of Here to Listen. That's H-E-A-R, Here to Listen. And today I'm joined by Sarah Giffen, also known as Viv Jewelry. Sarah's been making a splash online and in the art world with her contemporary handmade jewelry, home decor, and viral videos. She's one of my good friends, and with more than 100,000 followers and 2 million likes across all of her content, it's clear that others are also just as impressed as me. So welcome to the Here to Listen podcast, Sarah.
Hey, Ryan.
How's it going?
Good. How are you? Good to see
good.
You.
Good. Is this your studio? This is your home studio here?
It is. Yeah. It's newly clean, and I got my LED sign lit up here for everyone to see.
Lovely. That looks really good. Did you create the sign?
I helped create it. I have a friend, Morley Kurt. He's on YouTube. He made he 3D printed it and made the backboard, and I painted the background.
It's beautiful.
And we hung it. Yeah.
Wow. So I've got to start things off. Everyone is talking about this recent video of yours that went viral, featuring a surprise cameo from Quinoa. And this video ended up getting more than 1 million views and 300,000 likes. And a lot of people are talking about it.
Okay. So the other day I took all my scrap clay and mixed it into really, really cute colors. This is me mixing it. And was that my quinoa? Okay, that wasn't supposed to be in here. That was from the other sheet. My quinoa.
So tell us about the quinoa video.
It's so annoying because the videos you put effort into, they get 20 views, and then the ones where you're like, you know what, I'm just gonna post it, they're the ones that get popular. To be honest, it was I saw a video, a TikTok, because I'm always scrolling, of a girl just saying, stop putting so much effort into your videos, just post and stop thinking about it because it's whatever. And I was like, you know what? You're right. So what I usually do when I do TikTok videos is I spend so much time editing and I'm looking through it and cutting the videos perfectly. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pick a bunch of videos as a process and just hit record and do a voiceover. And so that's what I did. It's beginning of the year. I do a lot of clay mixing videos and stuff. So I picked certain videos and I just let it auto cut with a trending sound because that's what they're always saying, you know? And then I go to do my voiceover and I'm just okay, low effort, just let's do it. So I was hey guys, I'm mixing my scrap clay, blah, blah, blah. And then there's a picture of my quinoa from two nights before where it's such an unaesthetic photo. It's quinoa in a Tupperware and it's on a scale because I was weighing it because I was making a salad and I wanted to know the macros and all this stuff. It's just this video of a horrible picture of quinoa and it caught me so off guard. And so I was recording being blah, 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 and then the quinoa pops up and it does a slow zoom, and then it caught me off guard, but I was in my head it was a split second of do I just keep going or do I talk about it, what just happened. So it kind of turns out to be this Wendy Williams moment of what was that?
Yeah,
James. So I was kind of was that my quinoa? Okay, well that wasn't supposed to be in here. And when I heard it over, I was just you know what, that's kind of funny. And going with that girl's comment of stop putting so much effort, I was you know what, it's funny, I'm just gonna post it. And I guess people loved it, man. People love the quinoa. I got 1 billion comments saying follow just for the quinoa. I was hey, I'm an artist, I'm not gonna post quinoa, what do you want from me? But yeah, so that was last week, and it's been fun to read the comments. People are laughing hard at it. I'm you know what, if I could make you laugh and you also what I make, not quinoa wise, jewelry art wise, then cool, we're cool.
That video was iconic, and I could tell just the way that you're reacting was genuine, and you were do I keep going, and then you just couldn't stop laughing, and I could see why it went kind of viral and people were loving it. And I understand that it actually gave you a little bit of a spike in business too, right?
Yeah. It got me like over 20 orders, and I'm working on those right now. I'm like stressed about it, but I'm like, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, well, we love that. People are supporting, and you know, the quinoa brought them there. I also love how, you know, you had this content creator be like, you know, just post, just don't even think about it, just post. And you're like, okay, let me try this. And then you tried it. It's almost like it was a sign that you were meant to see that.
That's so true. You're so right. I didn't think about it that way. Yeah. It's like literally, it was just like the steps. And then the first video where I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do that. It was like, okay, I guess it works.
Yeah. So my other question outside of the quinoa post is about your jewelry. And when did you realize that you could make, actually not only the jewelry, but also the art pieces that you make, which by the way, you gave me one. You gave me this for Christmas, and it's so lovely, and I really appreciate it. So when did you realize that you could make this really unique and customizable art?
It's hard because like I've been creative all my life, like from so young. I've always been drawing. I was more into just like drawing realistic things for like my whole, I don't know, like teenage years. And then when I got to school and I went to school for illustration at OCAD, I was like trying to find my style and everything. And then like, I was in this program and I didn't like it, long story short. And like, I just started with like the clay stuff just as a hobby, and it just like blossomed, like kind of like overnight. Cause I found out I could do it, like just really like not very good jewelry looking back on it now, but obviously, you know, as you progress, you get better. So it was like so magical though, to like make earrings or like make glue studs onto like pieces of clay. And so I just kind of rolled with it. And like right away I had like a friend kind of be like, hey, I know this guy who like he was selling like t-shirts on the street, on Queen Street. You should try it. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I should. So I literally got this like corkboard and like a milk crate and sat on the sidewalk of Queen Street and sold the jewelry that like I just made maybe like a week before. I was like, you know, I'm like, what? Like, it was kind of like my first taste of like rejection kind of, and just like trying something new. And like, I was so scared, but like I had like three people buy things that day. I made like $30 and I was like, oh my God, it was like a drug. So then like literally since that day and since making that stuff, I like have just built a style and not only in jewelry, but built a style in my illustration as well, that like they all complement each other so well. But it's taken like years to kind of like have like a unique style, I'd say.
And you have one of your pieces there on your...
Yes, I do. A little snake, actually not little, but like... very lightweight for anyone wondering. Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate you sharing that and also, you know, diving into your journey a little bit, because a lot of people may see the success and see the social media following and be like, you know, that they just think that you were just there. There was no struggle there, maybe. Some people could think that, whereas someone literally told you to go on a street corner and try to sell your art, right? And some people even get nervous about creating their art, whether it's content creation or actual like physical art or digital art. And so the fact that you get out there and you take that risk, it seems like it really paid off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was so scared to go that day, especially because it's like, it's kind of like, I don't look down on it, but like, I'm literally like, under people. I was sitting on the street, like on my butt on the street and like on the sidewalk. So it's like, and people would just pass, like people don't look at you, you know, until like there's that one person who's like, oh my God, what was that I just passed and made do like a double take. And it's like, oh, okay. Like it only takes that one person to spark that like fire, you know?
So, yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing. It was like the best thing I probably could have done for myself.
Wow. And when you were sitting there and you got your first sale, you said you had, or those three sales, you had that rush. And did that kind of catapult into what your business is like now?
Yeah, exactly. It's like that rush never stopped, because like I was so lucky to start this so early, because it is like a popular medium to use now. And it like, it I was like kind of the first one in Toronto to start it. So like people saw and they're like, what is this stuff? Like, how are you making this jewelry? And it's so lightweight and like, it's kind of retro. And I just got like so many eyes on me. And like, I kept sewing on the street. I eventually got like an actual table. I'd go to like places that I knew people liked this kind of art. So like Kensington Market, Queen Street West, that kind of stuff. And I started to like know my market, started to like slowly build an Instagram following, which like at the time maybe was like at a couple hundred or something. But like just that like continuous support and like also learning day by day how to kind of like create a business and how to like use my time and time management, learning all of these skills at once that kind of like university never taught me, was like so interesting and very scary and annoying at times, but also just like I had so much fun learning all this stuff. And I realized like, oh, I think I'm supposed to be entrepreneurial. I think this is what I was like meant to do in some way. Wow. And it's like such a blessing that I learned it through also being creative, which is like a passion.
Yeah, the fact that you can combine both. Mm-hmm. And you talked a little bit about the social media following, and that leads into my, you know, next question of how did you turn your passion and your art into such a large social media following?
So it started with word of mouth. So it started with like getting my friends to follow, posting about it a lot, just talking about it like very casually, not like, my goal is never to be like a salesperson. Like I just talk about it casually. And if anybody's interested, I'll talk more about it. But like, it was, I kind of just did it that way. And then through Instagram, like slowly it was again, word of mouth, people sharing all this kind of stuff. But then I got on TikTok, maybe a little bit late. I'd say like, I was definitely like pre-pandemic, maybe like the beginning of that year. I started on TikTok, but I wasn't getting like any views at that point. I didn't even know how to use it. It was actually very annoying because I didn't know. It was a different way of editing videos versus Instagram. Now at this time, you can edit them both like pretty, like you can edit one and use it for the other pretty much. But like at the time it was not possible. So it's kind of like, oh man, this is like a whole extra step. But regardless, I was already posting process videos on Instagram, and then Instagram got Reels. And while when Instagram got Reels, a lot of people rejected the idea, but even though I didn't love Reels at the time, I was kind of like, it's like the easiest way to post a video. Like they're making it so much easier than like the way they had before. So I just like started posting. And because Instagram was promoting people that did use Reels because they wanted more people to use it, they just like pushed my content like so much. It was like every video I posted was getting like thousands of likes. I got like thousands of followers. Like there'd be like one video that got like, I don't know, like 20,000 likes, and I gained like 10,000 followers from it. Wow. It was like, it was insane. And like, at that time I was so used to like social media because I'd been on it and posting regularly for like at least a year and a half at that point. Like it was so easy for me to just like push the content out. I was filming everything on my phone, and then I was trying more on TikTok. And then eventually I found a little niche with like color palettes. I'm like really into color. I love color, and I love making like really nice color palettes. And I just started posting that kind of content on TikTok. And my first viral video, really viral video, other ones like I've had like a couple thousand likes, but this one got like 600,000 likes and like 6 million views, was literally just like a video of me explaining like a six color palette and explaining why the colors look nice together. It was so simple, but like people ate it up. But the funniest part is like half the people were there for that content. Half the people were like roasting me because like my fingernails looked gross.
No, wait, really? Yeah. They were roasting you on your fingernails? I've never heard this.
Yeah, they were completely like, oh my God, your fingernails are disgusting. But I was like, oh my God.
Would you respond to them?
I was just kind of like, sorry, buddy. Like, but also they'd also like, they're like, it was also about my voice. Like my voice is like naturally lower. People were like, you sound like a man. Other people were like, oh my God, I love your voice. You sound like Donna from That 70s Show. Blah, 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 blah. Like, it was just people fighting about like me in the comments. And I was like, well, you guys are like making my video get popular, so I don't really care. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
So when people were commenting and, you know, saying these like really personal things about you or your nails, what kept you going? Because I feel like that can be really discouraging when you're like, I'm putting myself out there and there's this whole demographic on social media, which literally they're just hating. And it may not only be your video. They may just look for something negative and all the content they come across, but you can take it really personal. Like you can have 10,000 comments and have like 10 negative comments. And those are the ones that can stick. So how did you keep going even past the negative energy from those people?
Yeah, that, like, I'd say that was my first taste at like some sort of negativity online, like really negative. But like, personally, I don't take anything personal. Like, you know me, I laugh at everything. So like, and I make a joke out of everything. So like, I found it more funny. Well, I decided to find it more funny. Like I could have taken it personal and be like, oh, my nails really look that bad. But like, I know they look bad. I don't know. Like, I'm just the type of person where I'm like, to be honest, like you're behind a screen. I find it kind of hilarious that you took that time to write that. And like, in the end, it's helping me because you're commenting on my post that's being pushed to like millions of people. So like, you're helping me. So why would I care, you know? Yeah. But like, I think like that was for me easy to like not take it so personal because it's something I don't care about. Maybe if it was something I cared about more, something else about my appearance, maybe I'd take it more to heart. But at the time, I was actually just like on a high of like, I finally went viral. Like, what do I do? it was like an addiction. Like social media is such an addiction. So it was just wow. Like, what else can I do? I don't know.
Well, it's true. And now you have, you know, a fitness account where you're posting content, you have a personal account. And it's interesting because you keep most of them pretty updated. And I don't know how you find time like to not only post, but you're like editing it and adding music to it. And I'm like, I know how long it takes to edit videos, right? But yeah. You're also running a business and doing side gigs as well. So it leads into my next question of, and it kind of probably ties into the passion portion of all this, but why do you create content?
I create content because like it's such a creative outlet. Like I'm always creative and like I never go a day where I'm not creating. So even if I'm not like creating physically, I'm like, oh, I can create like this cool video. And I also love like video content as well.
Yeah.
And I'm like the least like secretive person. Like I love just like sharing stuff and like I love people's reactions too, because I find like a lot of my content has a little bit of a twist. Like I'm always trying to be funny in some way, or I'm always trying to like be interesting because I am interesting. And like I think I just love one, like social media addiction. Like I'm so addicted, but like I'd say in a decently healthy way. But in another way, like I love sharing things and I find like no shame in it. And I love just like the community it creates, like with the art. I have such a big community with like my fitness. It's a very small account, kind of just for like friends, just like, cause fitness is also a passion of mine. So like, I just love sharing things and then getting feedback and also having people share with me. It's just more of like a community aspect. So I just like, I love everything about it.
I want to go back a little bit and I want you to tell me a little bit about what your childhood was like growing up.
Okay. I had an interesting childhood. You and I have talked about it a little bit or a lot, but I have no like bad feelings about it, but I would say it was like in some ways a little unconventional. Like I had, I grew up in Kingston or outside of Kingston, Ontario. And so like very small town vibes, but like I knew I was never supposed to stay in a small town. I was never a small town girl, just wasn't for me. Yeah. But I had like some setbacks with my family a little bit earlier in life. Like I had a house fire when I was like 7. So my family kind of like lost everything. We had to like live in a trailer for almost a year, living with our neighbors for a while. Things like that. And then my dad also had a failed business. So there was a lot of like financial worry growing up, which has definitely led into my adult life, but I'm like conscious. I'm consciously like trying to like fix it and work through it. So like every day I'm kind of like stepping towards like being more financially secure, but it definitely affected me for like my young adult life. My family, we're very close now, but I'd say we had like some moments in our lives where we were like further apart. I'm like definitely close to my parents now, but when I was a little bit younger, not so close. I didn't really feel like I could ever like talk to them personally about anything. So I ended up like talking a lot to like family, friends, parents, things like that. Kind of like, I don't know, it was an interesting parenting dynamic that, to be honest, like we're still working on today, but like, again, it's also getting better in my adult life as I mature. But I'd say like the biggest thing that I worried about was money growing up. Just like, it was a really big thing that like, we weren't very like financially secure. But I ended up moving out when I was 17. I came like right to Toronto for school. And I was in a household where, again, love my family, love my parents, we're close now, everything's good. But like, I was in a point where I was like, I need out, like I cannot thrive here. I need to grow up and I'm okay. Like I think like growing up, I'd already like established a lot of independence. I did a lot of stuff for myself because my parents were like working always. They did the best with what they had when I look at it now, but when I was younger, I kind of like was mad at them for it because they were never home really. So it was a lot of stuff like that. The dynamic was off. And I was like, to be honest, I'm already a grown up at 17. Like I do everything for myself. I bought my own groceries at that point. Like I had a job when I was 16 and like used it for like all of my bills at the time. And I was like, you know what? It's time. So I moved to like the most expensive city in Canada, almost, other than Vancouver. And that's where like I started my adult life, even though I wasn't even technically an adult. I couldn't even like open a bank account by myself, which is so funny. But yeah, I had like an apartment that was $500 rent. It was a basement and it was horrible, but I loved it at the time because I was like, you know what? I'm out of there. And yeah, since then, I think like me and my parents have made a lot of effort to kind of like repair. And since moving out, I'm able to see like kind of separate myself from like that old life and see kind of like that they were trying. They just didn't have like the resources that they necessarily needed. So yeah.
And I'm sure they're so proud of you now and everything you've accomplished. And I think that's, first off, thank you for sharing that. And also, I know you've told me that story before, but every time you tell me about experience, like the house fire and like imagining how tough that must have been to not really have that home base living in other places for a while. And the fact that you were able to overcome it later in life, even though you talked about your facing some hardships with finances and things like that. The fact that you then prospered as a business person, one of those, you know, as an entrepreneur, one of those things where it's kind of risky, right? Like you could get a full-time job somewhere and be like, okay, I have a bit more stability, but you literally still went for it and you kind of conquered. It sounds like a lot of those fears, whether you realized in the moment or not. And it ties into my next question. I know how proud I am of you in hearing that story and your journey, but you know, if you were sitting with your younger self right now, what would you tell her?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'd tell my younger self that, I mean, this is something I'm still learning today, but you don't need to have everything figured out like in the moment. And I'd also tell my younger self that like it's okay to rest and relax, because like your rest time is just as important as like the your productivity time. I think like also growing up, my mom is a type of person who like, she's always doing something. Like she's working. If she's not working, she's working on the house. She's rearranging the living room. She's gardening. Like she's doing something productive. So in that environment, that's like what I learned. And I've talked about my brother, or I've talked to my brother about this. And he has like the same kind of mentality. That's like, always do something. Like even like if you're resting, if you're not productive, that's not okay. You should always be productive in some way. And so like, this is something that I'm unlearning like now in life. I'd say in the last year or so, I'm like, it's something I'm trying to unlearn, because like, you can't work at like 100% productivity if you're not allowing yourself to rest. So I'd say to my younger self, just like relax and be in the present moment and enjoy what you have. And stop like looking to the next thing, like instead of like wanting this, or like, I'll be happy when I have this, or like, especially the money thing. Like once I make this much a month, like that's when I can finally like breathe. It's like, no, you're living now and like, you're doing amazing with what you have, and like, just live in the moment and be grateful and happy, and like things will work out because everything is as it should be.
Wow.
That was a lot. Thank you for
sharing that. No, that's that's great advice. And thank you for sharing that. Hey everyone, just a quick break here. I wanted to thank everyone for watching and listening, and ask that you show your support by engaging on social media, whether that's following us, liking the content, sharing the content. You can do all of that over on social media at Here to Listen Pod. That's H-E-A-R, Here to Listen Pod, P-O-D, on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, huge shout out to the supporters on Patreon. You can join on Patreon, patreon.com/Here to Listen Pod, H-E-A-R, to Listen Pod, P-O-D. And if you're part of the gold or platinum tier, you can actually hear an extended version of this interview. That's right, more content, more questions. You can hear that by subscribing to the gold or platinum tier. You can also join the silver tier. Just like in the gold and platinum tier, you will get episodes the day before they air for everyone else. So thanks again. It truly helps to support what I'm doing and my passions and my dream. Okay, on to the next question. You do a lot of your art, you do a lot of illustrations, the jewelry, the contemporary art, and a big part of it is actually getting out into the community and doing these in-person markets and interacting with the community. So what's, you know, in Toronto, and so what's so important to you about getting out there and showcasing your art beyond, you know, your digital profiles?
Well, I am such an extrovert and I love just like meeting people and talking to people. And as I said at the beginning, like I never want to be like a salesperson. I only want you to like my stuff or buy my stuff if you genuinely like it and like you're genuinely interested. So like getting out into the community is so amazing and important, because when I meet my customers or I just meet friends, like there's people where like they've never bought anything, but they come to these markets and they say hi, you know? And like that I value just as much as someone who buys something for me, because it's like it's just creating that community physically and just like making friends, to be honest. And like in like those friendships is where not only you have connections to like business, but you also just have like connections of like things you can talk about with people that like maybe your other friends wouldn't understand. Like I can talk to you about so many things, but like there's something specifically in polymer clay or like illustration that like I can talk to about like these people with these people. So it's kind of like, it's just like being able to mesh and just have fun and like, I don't know, create these like fun friendships.
Oh, that's great. And I know I've been to some of your markets and you'll literally end up being like best friends with your neighbor at the markets, right? And
yeah,
you know, true. What do you think is the biggest misconception about you?
Ooh, that's deep. Biggest misconception about me. I think like I mean, when you look at me, I'm always like chilling. I'm just like, I find I have like a very chill vibe, or like, yeah. I'm like smiling, you know?
Yeah.
But I have like an interior that's like always stressed.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. Like I wouldn't say it's anxiety. I'd more just say like, I'm naturally like, I'm always thinking it's that productivity thing that I mentioned. Like, I'm always thinking like, what's next? And like, how can I do this? How can I multitask? How can I do this and this? Like, I've got like a wired brain that just like kind of never stops. And, yeah, I'd say like in general, I can be calm when I put the effort in, but naturally like I'm super stressed all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that, so the misconception there would be that people just see you as like bubbly and fun, which you are.
Yeah.
But they don't realize necessarily that deeper you're like, yeah, a ball of stress sometimes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Are there any moments that you don't experience that, like that you can think of where you can just check out and you're not experiencing that stress?
Yeah. I think when I like set the time to be like, okay, I'm in the moment. Today, I'm not going to stress about this. I'm instead going to like be here, whether I like, when we're hanging out, you know, or like we go on a trip or something, it's like, okay, but I literally planned this time. There's no use of me stressing about what's at home, because like, this is, I've paid for this. We've planned it, like, yeah, whatever, you know, I'll deal with it when I come back. Those times, but also in the morning, I have like a huge morning routine where like I journal, I plan my day, I stretch, like, and like, that's my time, you know, like it's not time to stress about these things right now. It's more just like, that's me time. And when I'm at the gym or in yoga, those are like the other two times. Cause like, that's me releasing the stress, you know?
What got you going to the gym and really focusing on that aspect of your life?
Yeah. I've always really been into the gym. Like from high school, I was doing like PowerFit classes, which is pretty much like lifting. My brothers taught me a lot as well. I have two older brothers. They're like gym bros, or they were once in their lives. And I've learned a lot. Like in university, I was lifting weights as well. But I'd say like in the last couple years, I've really wanted to like learn as much as I can. And it's just like such a passion. Like it's on and off. Like there's some months where I'm so into it and I get like jacked, I get like ripped, you know, and I'm like, yes. And like, I'm really into like the nutrition aspect as well and all this kind of stuff. And then like summer comes and it doesn't take over my whole life, which is nice. It's still a passion at that time, but I'm like, man, it's summer. I'm going to chill. I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to like have fun. I'd say I'm in a season again where like I'm really into the gym and I'm training to become a personal trainer. So like,
yes,
that's fun too. So it's always, along with like creativity and art, it's been my second passion for so long. So it's cool to pursue it as well.
Yes. And congrats on that journey of starting to look into becoming a personal trainer. And I have a very, very positive outlook on that for you. I think it's going to go great. I think you're going to experience lots of success with it. And, you know, if people want to follow along with your jewelry, with your art, and also once you become a personal trainer and, you know, maybe they want to book some sessions if they're in the Toronto area or online, what are the ways that they can find you and interact with you?
Okay. There's so many ways. I have like 8 Instagram accounts.
I know.
So first one, art related, jewelry related. My Instagram right now is Viv Jewelry, viv.jewelry. However, I am planning to go through a rebrand because I still want to do jewelry, but I want to step away from jewelry a little. So right now, as of now, it's viv.jewelry on Instagram, Viv Jewelry on TikTok. That's where you'll find me. If anything changes, I'll let you know. And my fitness is like funny and embarrassing. It's Sweaty Stinky Sarah. That'll stay forever, by the way, even if I'm trying to be professional. I'm not really professional, so whatever. Sweaty Stinky Sarah is like where you can find my fitness content.
That's great. And we'll definitely be following along. So thank you for sharing that, and as well as your fitness journey. I didn't realize that it had started that early on, and I really appreciate you sharing your journey and the content of you in the gym. It's definitely inspiring. All right, on to a different topic now, talking a little bit more about, you know, a self-growth journey. And I'm wanting to know, you know, as someone that really comes across so confident and talking to you outside of even this podcast, you know, you've done a lot of that self-growth. First off, I'd like to learn, what does loving yourself mean to you?
There's a lot that goes into it. One would be making sure I like do physical activity. I feel my best, my absolute best when I do some sort of physical activity, even if it's just like going for a walk. I think it's like so important to just like love your body and like being so happy of like what it can do for you. That's like number one. Number two is like also setting time aside for like my mental growth. So like every day I'm reading, every day I'm mostly every day I'm journaling. In my journal, I'm writing not only like a thought dump of like whatever's on my mind, but also like so much gratitude. Like I'm every day I'm writing, like, I'm grateful for this today. I'm especially grateful for this. This just helps my mind be set in a more like positive tone. Like it just starts your day or whenever you're journaling, like it just helps you like move from like maybe some negative thoughts to like pretty much positive and seeing like a positive outlook on most things on life. And recently I started planning my day every day and writing down my finances. So like what I'm spending every day, because to me, self-love is also taking time to unlearn things that you might be like so accustomed to. So for me personally, it's like being like worried about my finances. So I'm trying to unlearn that mindset. And learning self-love is like learning new habits to make yourself a better person. So for me, planning my day, not only does it relieve stress of like all these things that I feel like I need to do during the day, it just like, it's just such a good habit. Like it's a good habit to just like write down your to-do list, write down like what your day looks like. It just, it helps so much personally. And I think just in general, self-love is learning, like keep going with these things. Like what else do I want to improve on? Do I want to improve on like certain, I don't know, reactions I have personally? Like we've talked about relationships a lot, being friends for a couple years. So like you've listened to me kind of like rant about like, oh, I used to do this in a relationship, but I'm trying to unlearn it and go towards here because I'm in a new relationship. And this is what I've realized like isn't working. And it's kind of like my fault. So a lot of like growth is self-love for me and just like working towards my best version of myself. But also like that all stems in productivity. I also think self-love is being unproductive for me at this point and just like allowing myself to enjoy experiences and not worry about the money and not worry about what I should be doing and just like enjoying the present moment.
Oh, yeah. Being in the moment. And I've heard a lot about people being in their healing era.
Yeah. And
it seems like you've been in that era for a bit now, working on yourself. And I've seen a lot of progress with that. And I mean, you're in a very happy relationship right now, right?
Yeah. Hi, Serge.
Oh, you know, he's watching. Hi, Serge.
He's going to laugh at that.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, again,
if you're comfortable with it.
That again, I'm like blushing now.
Oh, me too. Why am I blushing?
That's so funny. Well, Ryan has been here throughout the entire journey. Ryan has been the little birdie in my ear, being like, Serge, Serge, Serge. Yeah. But yeah, Serge is amazing. Serge and I met at my 23rd birthday party. A friend brought him. we were just friends for a while. And like, that's all at the time, like we thought it would ever be, but it kind of like blossomed over a couple months. And then we were trying out like, you know, a casual thing. And then it was kind of like, you know what? I think it's time to like be more exclusive and figure this out. But for me, this personally, this was like really challenging because like, I haven't been in a relationship for like 3 years. In my last relationship, I got cheated on. So like, I was in this era of like, I want to be single. I'm like a businesswoman. Yeah. I don't have time for this at all. Like, where would I fit this person in my life? Like all these thoughts and all these, like all these negative thoughts, I had to like rewire. And as him and I were like seeing more of each other more intimately, I kind of realized like, it's not that hard. Like physically, like, it's not like, he's not asking me to like, figure out my day that revolves around him. Like the right person is like, it complements your life and doesn't like add stress. So that's exactly what he was doing. And I was like, why was I making this so hard? And that's when it was like, okay, let's be in a relationship. And then that made a whole set of new challenges because I was loving this new relationship. I was like, oh my God, this is like so much better than I ever thought it could be. But I realized like, I still had a lot of triggers from like past relationships and like childhood that were coming up that I thought I worked through being single, but I had this huge realization that like, you can't work through these like certain relationship triggers unless you're in a relationship that triggers them. So yeah. Like things like attachment issues and like being insecure about like where he was, things like that. These things were popping up, even though he's like the most reliable, like trustworthy man ever. Like these were popping up regardless. And I was like, oh, this is a me problem. This is not a him problem. I need to work through this. So that's where we are now. We're like, amazing. 10 out of 10. Love you, babe.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to Serge.
Okay. Enough of him.
Yeah. Get to his head. Shout out to Sarah too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and Sarah Ryan. And Serge. Oh, and SNS. Ryan. SNS.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What's something that you haven't accomplished that you want to accomplish?
There's like a lot. There's a lot. I have like a lot of short-term goals. Long-term goals, I really like, the biggest thing is I really want to travel. Like I really want to get to a place with like my job/jobs where like I can comfortably take time to travel.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like I guess it is a career goal, but it's more just like a personal goal where it's like, man, I would love to see the world. I haven't really had or given myself opportunities to travel that much. So that would be like my biggest goal right now. But like short-term goals, like I really want to become like a good, reliable personal trainer. Yeah. That's like on the way, almost accomplished.
Yeah.
And the other thing with the art is like, I'm in talks with like some people, one friend about doing workshops in a space. I'd love to do like a nice workshop for the jewelry. And I'd love to do more murals, more like large scale murals, like I'm doing right now for this restaurant. But I'd love, I don't know. Like I have so many goals that it's hard, but like accomplish more, like do more like illustration artwork, especially murals. That would be like my biggest thing in like my art business, because like, I love the jewelry so much and like, I'm going to continue to create, but I love illustration just as much. And I'd love to move more towards that.
Would you say that illustration is the favorite type of art that you create?
Yeah, in some way, like illustration and jewelry is so close because they can be meshed so well. Like I can create illustrations on my jewelry, but to be honest, it doesn't give me the same satisfaction as like creating on my iPad or on paper, the certain like drawing I do. So like they're so equal that's why I can't give up one or the other. That's why I want both to like mesh seamlessly. That's why like the whole rebrand is in my thoughts, because like when people hear like Viv Jewelry, they're like, oh, she just does jewelry. But like, I don't want to be associated with just that anymore. So
yeah, you do so much more than that. And the murals have been looking really great, or the artwork that you're doing for that mural. I know you've shared some of that content. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? So if you're looking at 2028, what does that Sarah look like? What is she doing? Where is she living?
Good question. That's so hard to say. I'd be what, like 29? Oh my God.
Sorry. You say that's so old?
No.
Okay, good.
Oh, I'd be a grandmother? Okay. let me think. So I definitely see my creative business like expanded to a point where like, not that it's like necessarily an empire, but it's like a more well-known, well-established like kind of creative studio type vibe. And I see myself being kind of like making products, or not necessarily products, or like making art where I have a style that's so uniquely mine. Yeah. Like people look at it and it's mine, you know, they can just tell. Cause like, I love when I look at other artists' artwork and like, you just know who that is. And you love that, like they have this aesthetic. I'd love to like be more established in that way and find that style, but I'd love to just like feel one, financially secure. I never have like a definition of what success is in terms of money or like career, but like, all I know is I would love to not stress about money. I don't need to be rich in any way at any point in my life, but to be financially stable is like something I obviously aspire to have. And I'd love to be traveling. I'd hope when I'm 29, I have like the freedom to travel when and where I want to. I'd love to be able to take like months at a time to just explore and do kind of like what I want. Where I'm living, I don't know, because I'm so open to like going anywhere that I have no clue where I will end up. Like, I love Toronto, but I haven't traveled, like I said. So my mom is, she's from the UK. So I can get a UK passport. So like, there's an option to like live in England, live in London, live where I want to, and travel Europe when I want to. So like, that's something I've been playing with for a while now, like knowing I can get this passport and possibly be closer to Europe. So like, I'm so open that like, if there's somewhere I loved in Europe, like I'm so not opposed to like living there for a year, living here for a year. Like I'm just, you know, I feel like I need to test everywhere to find out like where I actually want to end up. So I just hope to be traveling. That's it.
Yes. You're putting it out there.
Yes. I will be traveling.
Yes. I had this question from the last guest suggested, and it was, if you had all the money and all the resources in the world, what would you be doing like right now? Money wasn't an issue.
Wow. I'd definitely be traveling.
Yeah.
I'd just be like traveling with a mindset of like, I will do anything that like this world throws at me, you know, like I will try anything. Yeah. Because like, I love to try new things, but a lot of times in my life, like money has been the thing that stops it. So yeah. I'd literally like, if I was traveling, like anything, any cool thing that I saw, I'd be like, why not try everything once?
Well, that's a great answer to a really great question. Shout out to Nate Weir for that one. And if you were to give a question to the next person that I interview, what would it be?
How are you, how in your daily life are you being creative?
Ooh. I like that.
I think everybody should be creative in some way whether that's singing, dancing, writing in some way every single day.
I love that. Thank you for that. And the final question that I will ask you, because, you know, I've definitely gone to you for advice about different things, is what advice would you have for, you know, people in general living life day to day, who are listening or watching this right now?
I think stop being like so scared of rejection and what people think of you. It's like such a classic thing, but I think the biggest thing is like the rejection, especially like if you're looking to like post content or just create things in general. Like, rejection gets you nowhere in life. And when you keep like pushing the boundaries of rejection, that's when you start to like make the amazing things. Like, it feels so uncomfortable at first, but when you get past that, you know, that TikTok sound, like your fear of looking stupid is like holding you back. Like, it's like that. It's literally like, if you just push that away and keep going, like you start to create, like, and you start to do exactly like what you were supposed to in life. You learn so much. So like, stop being afraid of the rejection of it.
Wow. Thank you for that. I mean, you're a great example of that. If you would have never went out onto Queen Street, right, and started selling your jewelry, mm-hmm. where would you be
exactly.
at now?
I don't even know, man. I can't even think of it.
Thank you, Sarah, so much for joining on this episode of Here to Listen. And I really appreciate you opening up today.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. This was so much fun. And by the way, you're an amazing interviewer, Ooh. As I'm sure everyone can tell.
Aww.
So yeah,
thank you.
I'm excited to see where this podcast leads you.
Thank you.